Gentlemen, I had a thought of a Yom Tov. And I'm here to share with you, to ask you, if it makes sense. It's a bit of a chiddush. And I want to ask you your opinion on it. Every year, the theme, one of the main themes on Shavuos, every year, the main theme of Shavuos is the Ish Echad, Lev Echad, the whole idea of being coupled together and that Klal Yisrael was like one, together, joined, they were all like one, and that comes with the whole idea of being one united Klal and nation, and that's very much a theme that we go to. It's one of the main themes on Shavuos, and that you can only be mekabel the Torah if we're all together, and there is that. And of course, that's why we have the preceding Yemei HaSfira beforehand, in which we work for Benon HaChaveroi. We all know that theme very, very well. And I was thinking this year we don't have it. We don't have it this year. The whole Shavuos was very much the theme was still very much the 2 meters and the lockdown and the relative it wasn't much of a klal. On the contrary, there wasn't much any of that. And I was trying to figure out something about that. I had a thought. And I was thinking that perhaps there is a message within that. I'm not the kind of person that tries to analyze, but there's something which I was thinking within it, which might be, there's an element of truth. I think that we as a klal, us as Yidden, we've been very much working over the last, I don't know how long it is, but there is very much that collective, the amount of ches that goes on within our community, the ches that goes on in the keles, it's abnormal, it's unbelievable. And I think that we've gone that ish echad, lev echad. I think that level of communal, this chevraye kadisha, this matzav of, I think Baruch Hashem, the Yidden have got very much to be proud for. I think that perhaps what has come on the cheshbon a little bit is that when sometimes we are so kind of social, we are kind of so tuned in for others, that I think that perhaps we need to step back a little bit. Can't leave behind, of course, all the chesed that goes on and all the collective zachen that goes on. Of course, we mustn't let that go. But at the same time, we also have got to go intro ourselves a little bit to some extent. I was just thinking that perhaps the Kabbalah's Torah this year was meramas to us as we were still in lockdown, as we were still within us, and as we were going through the Shavuos on our own, without Tekun Leil together, without Megillas Rus together, without Akdomas together, but it was all on the individual basis. Maybe there was a message within that, you know what, we've done the Ish Echot Belev Echot, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael, it's got much to be proud of, but we've got to now work on a Kabbalah on an individual basis, work on a Kabbalah on within us, to mechazik ourselves, as opposed to the social aspect of it. And I was thinking about that, and I want to say, I had to shtickle Orin Megillah about this. We say in the Megillah, at the beginning of the Megillah, we say that Vayimusugam Shnei Mamashat Posuk Hey, when Elimelech was when Elimelech died, straight away, as soon as they moved to stay, and both sons died, Machlan and Kilion died, and here she was, Nomi stayed, and how are we going to translate Vatishoya? She remained, she was left behind, from Vatishoya Isha, she remained, Mishneila there. She, I don't know the right translation, but Tishoya, and she was left behind. Mishnei lo dea from both her sons, Umeisha, she was left behind from both her sons, Umeisha, and from her husband. And that's Posukei. And it was striking as I was going through the saying the Megillah, thinking that This pasuk is completely unnecessary. We know our maths very well. Baruch Hashem. Now, I know the previous pasuk told us that Elimelech died. We learned the pasuk earlier that Machlon and Kilian died. So guess what? If her husband died and Machlon and Kilian died, so guess what? She's going to be on her own. That's no rocket science. So why does the pasuk need to say, Vayomusu kam shnei Machlon and Kilian, Vatishoyo Isha, and she remained herself? What do you mean she remained herself? I know that. I understand she remained herself. If her husband died, if a son's died, then yes, she's going to be on her own. What does that mean? Vatishoer ha'isha, and the woman was left behind. The woman remained. Mishnei l'adomei isha. It's a completely unnecessary kind of statement. And then he hits me, and I tell you, I think this is pshat in the pasuk. Please tell me what your thoughts are, because this is Nomi, and we know what the Nomi was unique in her Kabbalah Satora. She was amazing. Of course, Nomi and Rus, these are the main principal characters of the Megillah, and what she's achieved and what she's done is unprecedented. We want to learn now a tremendous lesson about her, because what she did is that her Yiddishkeit was not based on her sons. Her Yiddishkeit was not based on her husband. Her Yiddishkeit was nothing. She was left, but it didn't affect in one way, because she was who she was. He had no connection. What she was, who she was, she had that tremendous level of Yirat Shemayim, of Avas Hashem. She was who she was, notwithstanding who others were, who might have been very, very close to her. But she was who she was. She was left the way she was. It didn't affect in any way, because she was who she was, who she was within her. And that's what the apostle is teaching us. Now, of course, her husband died, Cholila, children died. But she was who she was, and the Yiddishkeit was that, not depending on others around her. And I think this is a tremendous insight that the pasuk is really teaching us. So from being an unimportant pasuk, a superfluous pasuk, it actually teaches us the insight of Nomi and her gadlus at Tzidkus, because she was Vatishoya, she remained on her own without her husband, and that's what the pasuk is teaching. I think that, and I think perhaps this is something which this Shavuos was perhaps teaching us. Any thoughts on that? Yeah, is that? Yeah, all right. Okay. We are continuing with the halachas of. We are continuing with the halachas of. Of May Peiros. So we learned so far in Simon Tov Samach Beis, we learned that May Peiros, we learned the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Tov Samach Beis, Aleph and Beis. What we learned so far is that that May Peiros are no machmitz. When you've got wheat which gets in touch with water, it becomes chametz after 18 minutes. If it gets in touch with mepeiros, with any juices, and that includes honey, milk, any liquid, mepeiros do not become chametz at all. At all, at all, at all. That's the opinion of Shulchan Aruch. However, if there's even one drop of water, we learned, then not only that it can become chametz, but it can actually become chametz very, very quickly. And it becomes so quickly that we suspect that after any time in which we've left it unattended and untouched, we suspect that it's become chametz already. So may peiros, with even a drop of water, becomes chametz very quickly. That's what we've learned so far. Now, see, if Gimel is actually going to go on a side point a little bit, which I don't want to go into detail because it's not really relevant for us, it's telling us the halacha of wine. Now, wine is as follows. Wine, in principle, is also, of course, a mashkin, and is also made peiros. And of course, wine also has the quality that if it gets in touch with that it's called made peiros. Now, the thing is with made peiros, the thing with wine is that during the process of wine production, when you take the grapes from the grapevine and they're harvested, so what happens then is that by default, by very much part of the process of the wine production, water is added at a very, very early stage. And that has actually a halachic reason for that as well, because of Nitzik Chibur, which we're going to touch on in a minute. But the question that is relevant to us is that since water is added at a very, very early stage, literally as soon as it's picked and harvested, water is added. So the question is this regarded as Mei Peiros? And if it's Mei Peiros, then what does that mean? That it won't become chametz. If I have wheat, which I want to make matzahs with, instead of water, I'm using wine. Wine matzahs might be something very attractive. Maybe people would buy that. Wine matzahs. So instead of having the wheat with water, I'm using wheat with wine. Now, if the wine is considered pure Mei Peiros, then no, don't worry about 18 minutes, it's not machmitz, it doesn't become chametz, as we learned that Mei Peiros is not machmitz. However, as we just mentioned now, water is added at the early stage. So if water is added, so perhaps you're going to say that the wine plus the added ingredient of water now is not considered pure water, pure wine anymore, but it's now considered Mei Peiros plus water, which, as we learned earlier, is machmitz, and it's machmitz very quickly, in fact. So now we want to analyze this wine. Wine, together with the wine, is that considered Mei Peiros, or is it Mei Peiros plus water? So here the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Mutar lolosh b'yayin, you're allowed to knead with wine, although she'afshaloi b'loi tipas ma'im, it's absolutely impossible that it's purely wine without added water, because definitely water has been added throughout the process. Absolutely, certainly. Tipas ma'im shenofelet b'shas abotzer, during the harvesting process, water has been added. And therefore, but nevertheless, we look at it as it being wine being just Mei Peiros. And even ideal lechatchila, l'regilim liten ma'im b'shas abotzer, it is added, they add water, during the harvesting they add water, k'dei lehatzir nitzoik, in order to allow nitzoik, that is, the process is, as the Mishnah goes in greater detail, is that in order to avoid being yayin nesach, you want to add a bit of water, because if there is two barrels of wine, one of them belonging to a goy, which is obviously yayin nesach, and one of them belonging to yeet, which is fine, any connection will nitzok, even slightest connection between them will make it yayin nesach, will invalidate, will make the juice barrel of wine also yayin nesach. Now, by having a bit of water, the halacha changes, and it won't be yayin nesach anymore. Therefore, for yayin nesach purposes, the custom is, more than the custom, it's the normal process is to add water to avoid yayin nesach problems. Therefore, Shulchan Aruch says, although the process inevitably includes additional water at a very early stage, nevertheless, as far as chametz is concerned, it's not considered Mei Peiros with water. The wine is still considered pure wine. The reason being, because the water is being added at such an early stage, we look at it as being pure wine and not as being added water. So we're learning that since the water has been added at a very early stage, it's not considered water. It's not considered Mei Peiros plus water. Rather, it's considered part of the wine. Hoil vekvanis potle b'mayim. It's potle. It's nullified within the water, within the wine. Koidim shelosha isa, before it was needed. So that's an important point. We're going to get back to that, because we're learning now the crunch of this halacha is if the water is added at a very, very early stage, we don't look at it as being an added ingredient, rather we look at it as being part of the wine. Of course,
water eliminates it anyway, because I've just to make it drinkable.
Well, that's an interesting question. So it would appear, from your interesting question, what it would appear is that for this process, it's a very interesting question, it would appear that for those matzahs, the wine that they use for those matzahs, they use the undiluted wine, because you're quite right. We've seen countless places that the wine was very strong and it would be diluted. You would need to have three-quarters of water. But it must be that over here, we're talking about the undiluted version, the very strong version, the water is not added later. So you lose that strong essence for the production of the matzah. That's what it appears, but it's a very interesting question. It's a really good question. We carry on, Siv Dalet. May Beitzim. Now we go to the egg matzahs. I don't recall, are egg matzahs still being sold nowadays in the shops? Egg matzahs, right? Yeah. Now, has anybody ever tasted them? Either on Pesach or after Pesach. Do you know what it tastes like? Because I haven't, I don't think I've ever eaten them. What did it taste like?
I tasted them many years ago, but it tastes slightly sweeter and more powdery in some way. As I said, this is years ago.
Years ago, yeah. So it's not, you don't think it's got such a big difference in taste even?
The texture is different, it's not crunchy.
Ah.
It's a very, very soft, and it's not very noticeably sweet.
Oh, right. Okay, interesting. Right, so we're going to analyze now the halacha of egg matzahs. Now, as we mentioned, we've got to, in our minds, we've got to differentiate. Egg matzahs is for sure a problem to eat on Leil HaSeder. That anyway, for a completely different reason, that egg matzahs are a problem because they are considered ashira, rich, because they've got additional ingredients, and matzah ashira is a contradiction to the pasuk lechem oini. Lechem oini means a poor man's bread, or a bread of a poverty. It's probably more precise, and consequently, it is not. It's not in line. You can't have lechem oini being matzah ashira. That, however, is only with regard to the kezesim on Leil HaSeder. There's no problem really to eat a matzah in terms of, as far as that is concerned, lechem oini, that's the mitzvah on Leil HaSeder, the two nights. So that really in principle is only an issue for the first two nights. What about a egg matzah on the subsequent days of Pesach? Is that a problem or not? So here we're going to look at it a bit closer. May beitzim v'sha'a mashkim. Now,
the
yolk, that's it, thank you very much. It just shows my kitchen skills, gentlemen. It just shows how much I end up in the kitchen. So the egg yolk, may beitzim, v'sha'a mashkim, and any other liquids, kulam hava b'chlal may peiros, part of the sha'a mashkim. And they're also may peiros. And therefore, according to Shulchan Aruch, what's the halacha? May peiros. Halacha is?
Should be
fine. It's absolutely fine. Because no added water is perfectly in order. If you don't add water, we learned, it cannot become chametz. So if you have an egg matzah, you have flour, and you take your eggs, and you do not add any water, it cannot become chametz. It cannot become chametz. So don't worry about 18 minutes. Don't worry about anything. Just bake it and shalom al Yisrael. As long as there's no added water. Now, this indeed is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. Egg matzahs is fine. However, the story does not finish there, because we've got a Ramah. And the Ramah says, over Medina is Elu, in our countries, which we know means the Middle European countries, Ein Noyagin, our custom is not Lolosh Beme Peros, we do not need with any juices. And even to dip the matzahs and smear it with a bit of liquid, only after it's fully baked. But oydon chamin, when it is still hot. Ve'en l'shanois, and one may not change this, and one may not have mei peros matzahs. And this is even without added water. Im loy, unless b'shas adchak, if it's a shas adchak, letzorke choyle, for an ill person, cholila, or zokenu, an old person, hatzorch leze, who requires that. So gentlemen, this is the opinion of the Rama. The Rama holds that contrary to the Shulchan Aruch, as we said, Shulchan Aruch, as long as it's not for the matzah mitzvah, Shulchan Aruch has got no problem with mei peros. It's totally fine. As long as you don't add water, it's fine. Rama disagrees, and Rama holds, even if you've got mei peros pure without any added water, it is still also. And you cannot have any mei peros even if no water has been added. The only exception is tzorkei choyle, for an ill person or a very old person who finds regular matzahs difficult to consume. Why? Why are we machmir on that? What is the reason why any matzahs which have mei peros, why is it also? So the Mishnah Berurah brings two reasons for that. Sif cotton test vav ein noyagin lolush 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. Techoy shishen lechatchila, because we suspect lechatchila lesvoras, to the understanding hanapoyskim of those opinions vesvir lehu, and they hold te mei peiros we choishes for the opinion of the rishonim techoy shishen. The post is filled with the May Peros Belchudayu Gamken Machmitzin, Umemarin Gamken Lahachmitz. There is a minority opinion of Rishonim who hold that May Peros, even if they have no added water, it can still become Chametz as if there is added water. And although it's a minority opinion, nevertheless, the Rama is choshish for that. And he says, you know what? Could be becomes Chametz, and therefore we avoid that. It's a minority opinion, but we still go for that. That's one pshat. Second reason is gam choshishin. We also suspect shemen is arbo emeat maim de kula am machmitz. As we mentioned earlier, even if there's one drop of water, then mei peros, not only to become chametz, but it becomes chametz very quickly. So therefore, who knows? Who knows? Can you really guarantee that not even a drop of water ended up in this? Are you really 100% confident that even the slightest minute amount of water didn't end up there? Who knows? Who knows? So don't be so self-confident. There's a chashash. And therefore, you've got to... This is chometz. We're talking about the rice over here. It's not... So considering this suspicion, we therefore always forbid mei peros because of the chashash that perhaps water was added at one point. So those are the two reasons of the Rama. Again, the first reason is because mei peros alone could also be machmitz, perhaps. There's such opinions. And the second reason is because perhaps one drop of water ended up in there. And if one drop of water ended up, then it's going to be machmitz according to all opinions. So fine, so we're choshev for that and we're machmir. However, this is only for normal circumstances. If somebody is cholila unwell, somebody is very old and can't eat normal matzahs, then he's allowed to be makel. Now, what about, according to the Rama, let's figure this out. What do you think is your opinion, according to the Rama, if you have matzahs which are made out of mei peros plus definite water? Would that be okay? Is there a more making only if it's pure maypeles? Or, yeah, like egg matzahs? Or even egg matzahs with added water? It wouldn't be allowed, absolutely. You're 100% right. Of course, because it's only made payloads that, with water, that's absolutely out of question. It's only matir, may, because that's machmitz miyad, and that's, so we are, the Ramon is only matir, made payloads, pure made payloads, for tzorich choyle. As the Mishnah Berurah points out, they've gotten new tests, for tzorich choyle miu imyav for miyad kanal. For dafke be made payloads lechudayu, this is only may payrois on their own. Aval may payrois imay. But if you've got may payrois with water and losh lechatchile, hafilu b'shalas atchak, then you can't may payrois with water for sure. It's also even b'shalas atchak, even if somebody's chalil in a well. Now I have a vague recollection seeing in one of the shops a number of years ago egg matzahs being sold. This is going back a number of years, and I remember that the hashkocha was a fairly recognized hashkocha on the egg matzahs box, and within that it said it was a fairly respectable hashkocha, and it said there egg matzahs only to be consumed for ill or elderly people, and it was part of the Ashkocha. Please ask your rabbi, or was something added to that? What are your thoughts on that? Is that pretty much what we are seeing here? Yeah, so that is the Ramah. Absolutely, I agree with you. I don't know if it's so sense. I don't know. I'm hesitant in terms of the fifth chelik of the Shulchan Aruch, as we say. You know, I don't know if people will like, once there's a, you know, a heksha, people tend to. People are not so accustomed in checking the, you know, a lot of people are a bit more, they just see our heksha and they just buy it and without thinking, without looking. So in terms of that, I'm not so sure it's so particularly wise. But in strict, pure halacha, it is correct. But I just,
could a Sephardi buy that lachatchila?
Yeah. Now, I don't know if there isn't, so to your question, is this Sephardi? So I think the answer is yes. Now, I do know there is many Ramos which the Sfadim sometimes are machmir, the Kafachaim sometimes is machmir on various Ramos. I do not know what the common practice is among Sfadim, and I don't know if they've accepted this Ramos as a Chumrah as well or not. It could be that what we are seeing over here, it looks like it's the Sfadim would be allowed to take it, would be allowed to eat it under any circumstances. But again, I don't know if there's Chumras within the Sfadi world which is accepted as a Chumrah, that I don't know. No, for sure not. Yeah, no, for sure not. Thank you for pointing out. As I mentioned earlier, that this is only with regards to another shayla if it becomes chometz or not. Certainly, it's not considered lechem oini. Certainly, this is not considered a way of fulfilling the kezesim. Definitely not, because it's not lechem oini. So actually, now that you're mentioning it, I feel that this is also maybe a misleading element, perhaps, when people are buying those matzahs, and it says, you know, it's got a prominent hashkocha there, and it's a heksha there, and it says, you know, and people say, oh yeah, people may not be aware that it cannot be used for kezesim. It's a bit confusing. It's a bit like, I feel very much the fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch doesn't allow for those matzahs to be sold on a wider scale. I think it's a bit tricky. Yeah, absolutely. It's lacking a lechem oini, and a person could not eat it for the kezesim, even if it's a choyle or a zaken. As I mentioned earlier, if a person is a choyle or a zaken, what he should do, he should eat, he should take tablespoons of matzahs, and that's how he should eat it. Or perhaps dip it, but egg matzahs for sure is not mekayem the mitzvah with that. Okay, Rabbi Sajid, to summarize what we learned this evening. We learned, Mei Peres alone is not machmitz. Mei Peres with mortar is machmitz, and it's machmitz very quickly. We learned wine, because water has been added at a very early stage, that's fine, it's considered Mei Peres without water, because at a very early stage the water's been added. We then spoke about Mei Beitzim, which is considered Mei Beitzim is considered also Mei Peres, and we finally learned the opinion of the Ramah, who is Machmir. The Ramah holds that you shouldn't have Mei Peres because of two reasons, either because we're chosh that Mei Peres alone is also Machmitz, or for the other reason that perhaps a bit of water was added, and therefore, who knows, perhaps it became Chometz. However, for Chole or for Shazat Chag, the Ramah is Matiz Meikel. Okay, gentlemen. Okay, I wish you a very good evening.